Welcome to the Authentic Persuasion Show, a place where business and thought leaders come to weigh in on important sales-related topics that you can use in your sales career and life. I'm your host, Jason Cutter. My mission is to get your help in changing sales from something prospects fear to an act of service they actually seek out and appreciate. Whether you're in sales, leading sales teams, or own a business, I hope this helps you improve your selling effectiveness and you can go out into the world as an authentic persuader. Hey there, in this episode of the Authentic Persuasion Show, you are going to listen to a replay of the Authentic Persuasion training sessions that are live each week. So in this replay, I'm taking that session, having it here so that you can listen to it, take notes, replay it, digest it, and then put these things into action. If you'd like, make sure to set your calendars for Fridays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, so that you can tune in live. If you want to register and sign up for free, make sure to go to jasoncutter.com, and there's a link on there. Or you can email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com as well, and I can get you the information for signing up. All right, hope you have your notepad ready to go. Let's dive into this replay of the Authentic Persuasion training session. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Jason Cutter here. Welcome to another Authentic Persuasion weekly live training session. So glad that you're here, whether you're tuning in directly through the Zoom webinar link. And if you're not registered for that, make sure to go to jasoncutter.com, scroll down, look for the Authentic Persuasion weekly training sessions, register via Zoom. That way you're here, you get the notifications, you get the alerts, you get the updates and other cool stuff that happens. And if you're joining on LinkedIn, YouTube, or Facebook, welcome as well. As always, leave a comment, say hello, like this, share it. Let's get more of this out there. I'll probably say that a couple of times as we go through this, but all of that stuff helps. Please support it. Let's get more of this out there. One of the reasons why I do this, because I love to share this when I start out, is my goal is to help enable and encourage over a million authentic persuaders in the world, specifically in the world of sales. We think about those words together, authentic persuasion, and helping people transform from order takers to quota breakers to deal makers, and seeing sales as an act of service. Then what that would mean is that us as all consumers and people out in the world have a much different experience when it comes to interacting with a salesperson. And we would have a much different expectation when dealing with a salesperson. It's fundamentally fairly universal that most people dislike the thought of dealing with a salesperson, especially a classic salesperson in the mode of what is normally done. And that's not good, right? Sales is service. Salespeople could be there to help. When somebody's acting like a professional, they're there to help, similar to the way we go to a doctor to get help and we expect help and we expect them to be a professional and we want their advice and their guidance. And unless they do something wrong and violate our trust, where we want a second opinion, generally we're going to do what they say because that is the point, right? That's what we want from them. And, so that's the big thing when we're talking about this in sales. The problem with sales is there's no professional organization. There's no governing body. There's no entrance exam. There's no licensing requirement. There's no malpractice insurance. Salespeople can just do whatever they want. So it's on all of us to shift the way that it's done so that consumers have a different experience. And you can feel successful. You can be successful and make as much money as you want at the service of other people and helping other people, which is really the goal, right? That's why a lot of people get into sales because of the nearly unlimited income potential. And it's not so much based on just putting in hours and then getting paid. It's about getting paid based on the value you provide, which is what I want to help people with, and embrace that and treat it like a profession and do it from a place of service and help those order takers shift into deal makers. So that's why I wrote Selling with Authentic Persuasion. That's kind of been my mission now for a few years, especially as a guy with a marine biology degree that was really destined to do nothing with people throughout that portion of my life and literally chose sharks. Like I joke about and say all the time, at one point in my life, I was on a 21-foot boat. We were surrounded and circled by three sharks from 15 to 18 foot long, great white sharks, three of them at once on a 21-foot boat. And that still seemed like a smarter and better career choice and safer career choice than dealing with people. Yet here I am,
It's a long process, long evolution story. If you want to know, I can tell you about it. I can point you to where I've told this story, but that's why I do what I do. That's why I'm here, because of how I started and versus where I am now. So let's talk about this. Last week, one of the big things that I talked about was helping prevent buyer's remorse. So I spent the last 2 weeks, a week ago, talking about the fact that with buyer's remorse, we want to help prevent buyer's remorse. A couple weeks ago, I talked about the cancellation paradox, where if you're selling and you're providing value and you're helping people kind of get out of their comfort zone, what's going to happen is you're going to cause people to cancel. You're going to cause people to have buyer's remorse and second guess their decisions for buying from you. And check out that session, session 19, and also check out session 20, where I say, okay, we want that. That's the goal. You're going to push people out of their comfort zone. And then that's okay, but how do we prevent it? How do we mitigate it? And last week's session, session 20, which you can find as a replay on here. So if you look on LinkedIn or you're watching on YouTube or you're watching on Facebook, you can find the replays on there. You can also go to the Authentic Persuasion show, the podcast, and find the replay on there. There is a playlist on the YouTube channel, or you can always go to jasoncutter.com and you can find that also. But the big thing was talking about preventing it. Now, this week, I want to make that shift. So you've enrolled some people, you're moving people forward, you're hopefully retaining those people, and you're filling your pipeline full of happy enrolled clients. And so what happens next? Well, the next part is generating referrals. And this one is a huge difference maker. This is a big topic, and it is a big struggle for a lot of people in sales because of many different reasons. So I want to go through this. And if you have the book, if you have Selling with Authentic Persuasion, this is chapter 20. That's the basis of what I'm talking about, but obviously a lot more detail. If you don't have it, you can always email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com. You just cover shipping. I will send you a signed copy of the book so that you have it, so that you can use that as a basis, kind of see what you're doing, see if that would help. So this week, session number 21 from chapter 20 is about generating referrals. Now, let's talk about this. One of the biggest challenges I see with people in sales is that they are so focused in the moment. They're so focused short-term, they're not thinking long-term. What happens a lot for people in sales, like can happen for people in life, is that you're so focused on this moment today, or this pay period, or this month, or this quarter, and it's short term, it's short sighted, and it really can verge for a lot of people on a feeling of being stuck in survival mode. You know, that mode where it's like, I'm worried about my survival today. I don't know how I'm going to get through today. I don't know how I'm going to provide for today. I don't know what I'm going to do. Now, in life, unfortunately, there are times where a lot of people end up in that mode, hopefully only in short bursts, but it happens, right? If you've ever been there, I've been there myself, where it's like, okay, I don't know how I'm going to cover my bills. I don't know how I'm going to pay for things. I don't know what I'm going to do at the end of this week or the end of this month, right? Like, if I don't make something happen today, there's some really big problems coming tomorrow. And so that's that survival mode. It's really tough to think outside of where you're at now and look ahead at any realm if you're in survival mode. Survival mode is so difficult. And really what happens is your mind, which is very fair, this is what it should be doing, doesn't care about anything else outside or long-term, only cares about this moment, surviving this moment, making sure you survive today, tomorrow, this week, whatever that looks like. In sales, right? What happens is we're thinking, okay, I've got to close deals this week. I've got to close a sale today. I've got to make my numbers this quarter or else I lose my job or else I don't make my bonus and I don't have enough money and then I can't pay my bills or I can't cover these expenses that I have or these things that I want to do. And so a lot of people are operating in sales on a regular basis in survival mode. Not that that's bad. It's not good. It's not anything. Really what it is the challenge is how much that limits what you are looking at, how far you're looking out. And when you're in that survival mode, which is I've got to close three deals this week or else, then what happens is you're only thinking about right now. Now, there is a side part of that, which we've talked about before, and it's always something to keep in mind, is that when you're in survival mode, usually there comes with it some level of desperation in the moment that might, in sales, it's going to push people away, right? When you have that desperate mode where also referred to as commission breath, where you like need that sale or want that sale so bad, that comes across and will usually turn off a lot of prospective buyers because they can sense it. They can sense that now your motivation is on you. And really, like, if people step back, it's not just focused on you with your commission breath, but it's focused on you and your survival. Like, there's something driving you in this moment. And so that is usually off-putting to people. It also can make it so when you're in survival mode, you're focusing on closing deals right now and not necessarily doing it in the best way. A lot of people will get cross over the line and go into the dark side of manipulation when they're in survival mode, when they're in desperation mode, which is I need to close a sale today or else. Okay, so who can I call? What kind of deal can I offer? What kind of discount? What kind of manipulation can I use? What can I do to get that deal? And when you're in that mode, now you're compromising who you are, what you're doing, what's best for your company, what's best for the clients long-term. You might make some sales this week or today. Problem is those are going to lead to bad sales or bad deals. And then you end up in this spiral, which is, oh, I had this cancellation. Now I have to close more. Now I got this. And then it's just this survival loop, which is very, very rough. It's very difficult. Ideally, what you want to do, and I got this from Brian Buffini, who's a referral coach and trainer years and years ago when I was in the mortgage business, when I first started seeing that you could do business by referral, which obviously for mortgage, for real estate, that's very beneficial. But he had four layers that he would talk about. There's survival, stability, and then success, and then significance. So survival, stability, success, and significance. And a lot of people get in survival. When you're in survival mode, you can't think of anything else. Really, your goal is to get to stability, because once you're stable, you can think about things outside of that. Think about for yourself, right? And I will get to where this has to do with referrals, but think about yourself in your life. Any moment you've been in a survival mode, maybe you don't have a job. Maybe you just lost a job at some point in your life and you're just like, oh my God, how am I going to make this? How am I going to get to being able to pay for my bills? Then you get a new job, right? And you're no longer in survival mode. Now you're in stability mode. Now you're just like, okay, I've got a job. I can pay my bills. And now you're like, okay, now I'm thinking about vacation. When you're in survival mode, you can't think of going on a vacation or taking a trip or long-term or what's going to happen next year. You're thinking about how am I going to survive this season of my life? And so you can't get it. But what you want to do is get to stability. This is really challenging for people in sales who may or may not be successful. And I'm using successful in your terms, not my terms, not anyone else's terms, not some guru's terms about how much you should be making. I mean, your terms of feeling like if you're not there and you don't feel successful, you're going to be in survival mode more often than not. And you're going to feel like you're in a constant grind. You hear people talk about, oh, I'm just grinding. Every day I'm grinding. That's usually coming from a place of sometimes scarcity, sometimes just survival mode, where you're just stuck in this survival loop where it's like, I got to keep grinding. If I stop grinding, I might die, right? Like, I'm just going to run out and it's not going to work. And then it's over. And that's not good when it comes from that place. In sales, if you're struggling, if you're not successful, it'll feel like survival. And it's really tough to think long term. It's really tough to think, okay, what am I doing next quarter? What am I doing next year? What can I put in place? What kind of coaching do I need? What kind of a mentor do I need to hire? What training course should I go do? What book should I be reading? How do I set myself up for success next year, later this year, next quarter? It's tough to think that when you're in survival mode right now and you're like, I don't know what's going to happen. Here's the other challenge. And this is where I see, especially when we get into this referral discussion, is that a lot of times people are in survival mode in their sales career, they're struggling in sales or they're unsure and they're not thinking long-term because they don't even know if they're going to be in sales next month or next quarter or next year, right? Some people might not even know if they're going to be in it in the next pay period where it's either them and they are going to quit or they know that they're on, you know, on a performance improvement plan or on the chopping block or double secret probation. And they just know that at any moment their manager is going to have them come into the office and have a meeting, and who knows what's going to happen, right? And so it's really tough to think long-term when you're in that mode. And here's why I'm talking about this so much, because A, this is a perfect place to put this in when we're talking about generating referrals, and B, it's so important for you to understand where are you at, and then how do you shift that? A, how do you take everything, like specifically that I've been covering in the mindset, your strengths, the sales success attributes, how to use the authentic persuasion pathway, all the things I've covered in the previous 20 sessions, the stuff that I cover in some of my other training, the things that I help people with in the authentic persuasion private group coaching program. But how do you take that to get you from survival to stability, where you know, as long as you focus on the right activities on a regular basis at the right amount that works for you and what you want to accomplish with what you're selling, then you will have stability. And now a lot of people think stability is wrong. When you're in survival mode, the best thing you can hope for is stability. How do you get to that flat plane where you're like, okay, I feel good. I'm in a good rhythm. Okay, this is my new baseline. Then you can go to success. Then you can be like, all right, now how do I just dominate? How do I make even more money, help more people, and do more things with my clients, build more value, and obviously generate your own success? That's the key that you want to get to. But for a lot of people I see, stability is just enough. If they could get stable and consistent, it would feel better day in, day out, week by week. That's what they want to go for. Here's where it comes into play with referrals specifically, is that it's really tough to farm when you're worried about eating today, right? So closing deals is, to me, is hunting. And I don't mean like the hunting, like I need to go out and hunt my food and kill it today, like in a sales mode, right? A lot of people can't just go out there and close a deal today. And then that's how that works from start to finish. But it is the mode. You're hungry. You know, if we think about, if you were out in the wild all by yourself, you need to eat today. Thinking about planting seeds and then watering and nurturing those seeds for the next 3 months so that you could eat some, maybe some carrots that are going to come out of the ground, or eat some apples in like 3 to 5 years from a tree that you plant today. You can't think that far because you're not even sure you're going to make it. Thinking about eating carrots in 3 months when you need to eat today, that's tough. So at one point, what you have to do is you have to act like a hunter and then think like a farmer. And it's so important. So you've got to do both. So first part is recognizing and acknowledging the stability piece. That's why I talked about that, because it's very easy for me to stand here on this video and tell you from my place and say, hey, it's okay, just close deals now, but then also work on referrals. If you're in a survival mode, you can't think that far. So you yourself have to get to the point where you're stable. Then you can do both, right? Then you can say, okay, I'm going to go out and hunt today, but I'm also going to plant seeds and work on my farm. I'm going to be in one place long enough, right? If we think of, let's say 10,000 years ago, you and your tribe are out in the wild, and it's like, okay, where are we going to be for the next 3 to 6 months? Are we stable? Do we know that we can be here and hunt and provide and take care of our tribe and be safe long enough to also plant things, plant seeds, and then nurture them and grow them so it's worth staying? That's a big ask. That's a big shift from just like, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Who knows where we're going to need to go? We might need to move right away. And that instability. So in your sales career, one of the goals is to focus on hunting and then farming. And it's so important. And the referrals are the farming. Referrals are a great source of business. Everybody knows that. Everybody fundamentally knows that at some level. And then the question is, what do you do with that information? Do you actually take action on that and generate referrals? Are you focusing on referrals at some level? Now, why do referrals work so much better? Well, we all fundamentally know this, but just so we're on the same page, the key is that referrals are somebody who knows somebody that you spoke with dealt with, maybe sold, maybe not. I'll tell you more about that part there, where the some of the best referrals you can get. But it's a warm introduction, right? And we're not talking like a lead that comes over, but more of a referral, which is, hey, you helped my friend John. John said to talk to you. What can you do for me, right? And going that route. In order to generate referrals, it takes you doing the right thing for people and or creating raving fans. Satisfied customers are not enough. Satisfied clients, right? You wanted an apple. I sold you an apple. Now, who do you know that also wants an apple? Send me referrals. Like, that's not amazing. That's not a raving fan. Now, if you wanted apples and then I tell you I have this other apple and this is amazing and it's this, and then I have you try it and you're like, wow, that was truly amazing. And this is one of the best apples I've had. Then you might tell your friends, right? But if you want something, I have it, you buy it, transaction's done. That's not going to necessarily generate referrals, and not predictably, and definitely not at scale. And so the key is that you want to ensure you're doing the right thing for people. And then it's all about creating raving fans over the top of what they're expecting. Because here's the big thing, is that unfortunately in the world, most people have lowered the bar on what they expect and what they tolerate. We all kind of, and I'll just speak for myself, and then other people I've seen, is that when I go into a store, I'm not expecting amazing service, amazing results, right? If I go into a retail store and there's somebody that's not behind the counter, that's surprising. If they're actually helpful and they can actually guide me to what I might need, that's amazing, but it's definitely not expected. Usually I go into a store and then I have to run around and find somebody, look for an adult who can then help me make the best decision. And I feel like I'm doing most of the work, and that's not amazing, right? And I think a lot of people have lowered the bar. When you call into a company, what do you expect? You just expect to get the runaround, maybe have to get transferred, explain your story over and over again. And that's just kind of what we expect. And that sucks. That sucks that that's what we expect from companies. And then those companies just expect us to be loyal customers and pay and be happy with that level of service. When you go above and beyond, right? When you go extra in that last mile, right? Like my mentor, David Meltzer, says, is that last mile is never crowded, right? In that last mile, in that above and beyond, in that part that you would do to make people feel even more satisfied than just giving them X, that part is very lonely in a good way, because when you do that, you'll stand out. It's amazing. Like when you go to a restaurant and they go above and beyond and the service is amazing, that stands out. Unfortunately, it shouldn't, but it does. And when it does, that's great for them, because then you want to tell your friends and family. And so the key is about making those raving fans. How do you do that from a sales perspective? Well, one of the biggest things you can do from the sales side is the kind of things that I've talked about in the last few sessions, which is making sure you're setting the right expectation. First off, you have to find somebody who has a problem or a goal that you can then address, right? They have problem X, they have goal X, you have solution X. It's a perfect fit. You can help them, right? You're acting as their guide, not the hero. You're helping them get up the mountain, helping them get to a better place for themselves, not about you. And in doing so, you're helping satisfy their need, their goal, their want, get them out of pain, get them towards something positive, whatever that looks like. That's great. That's the base minimum. That's what you should be doing. The raving fan, the over the top, the doing more than comes from the setting expectations. It's really about providing additional value, setting the expectations, setting them up for success, and then ensuring they have a good experience with whatever you're selling, whatever your product is or your service. One of the things that I see a lot of salespeople default to doing is actually explaining less. Now, they usually will explain a lot about their company and how amazing the company is and all the positive features of whatever it is that they're selling and the amazing benefits that people have. But what they don't do is necessarily disclose everything, right? Because there's always a trade-off. I've mentioned this the last few weeks, and there's always a trade-off. Your prospective clients know that. They're on the lookout for it. If you've ever heard somebody say, well, what's the catch? or this sounds too good to be true, it means you're selling all the positives and they know there's something else. They know there's a trade-off. They know there's a negative and they're just waiting for it. They want to know what that is. And if you don't tell them what it is, they're going to be on the hunt for it. And when they uncover it, they're going to be surprised and they're going to be unhappy. The best salespeople I know in a professional way are telling the prospective customers about all the features, the benefits, the positive things that apply to them, and then also disclosing the trade-offs and disclosing what it's really going to be like on the rest of that customer journey. If you're selling a B2B SaaS platform, then it's important to understand and explain what the onboarding process, what the implementation process. Now, you don't want to get too far in the weeds. You don't want to confuse people. You don't want to scare people, but you also don't want to say that it's, or lead people on to think that it's very plug and play if it's not. If they have to do something as a new customer in order to get this implemented, you want to make sure people understand it. If not, they're going to expect, hey, I'm paying all this money. I'm just going to show up and this should just work instantly, right? And if that's not the true case, if that's not what really happens, you're setting someone up to be unhappy. And again, as a salesperson, you have to understand that it's okay to explain those things, to set the expectation. People are expecting that. And when you do that, it's interesting because you will create a better customer experience and a better customer journey because your competitors aren't. Their other experience of buying, they're not getting that as well, right? They're only getting the shiny positives, right? The highlight reels. They're not getting the real details. And they're upset over there. If you do it, it's going to be good. So one of the biggest things you can do is focus on creating those raving fans in any way that you can, usually by being honest and disclosing the trade-offs, disclosing and setting the expectation on what's going to happen, right? If I set the expectation with you and say, this is going to be amazing, you're going to get a lot of value from this, right? Like when I talk to people about my coaching program, you're going to get a lot of value out of this private group coaching program. Like we cover a lot of great content, great questions, great answers. The trade-off is you've got to show up. You've got to be a part of it. You've got to be engaged. You've got to ask questions. If you want the most out of this, you have to be a part of it and just keep coming back and keep putting things into action, right? It's the same thing if I were to sell gym memberships, and everyone knows this who has ever bought a gym membership, is that you actually have to use it, right? And so the key is setting the expectation of what that looks like so that people know. It's like, this isn't just show up and I'm in shape. If I sign up for the gym, I'm in shape. I have to use it. So the big thing you can do is focus on that. And that will lead to generating referrals. Now, the other part with generating referrals that's always interesting to me, and this part is fun, is when you're dealing with someone who's not a good fit. I did a session maybe month and a half ago about the power of saying no. And it's actually a chapter in Selling with Authentic Persuasion. And it's something I talk about from time to time, which is the value and power of when somebody is not a good fit. Right? Again, they have problem X or goal X and you have solution Y, and it's just not a good fit. They don't qualify. You can't help them. You can't give them value. Even if you did convince them, persuade them, manipulate them into buying from you, they're not going to be happy. They're going to have so much buyer's remorse. They're going to be upset, and that's going to be a fail. And you don't ever want to do that. So when it's not a good fit, you tell them no. And we covered that. Check out that session. If you can't find it or you want help in knowing which part to focus on that, you can always email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com. Happy to send you the link for that one. The key is in that you're telling people, no, it's not a good fit, right? You're qualifying, disqualifying. If you disqualify, you're doing them a service. You're helping them by saying no. A lot of people in the world of sales don't do that, right? They just want to say yes to everyone. They want to find a way. They want to push everybody. And again, that leads to buyer's remorse. It leads to cancellations, complaints, issues, challenges, all kinds of things after the transaction's over. And you don't want to be that salesperson, right? That's part of what gives sales a bad name from time to time, is the person who's just shoving everyone through and they really shouldn't have bought. When you do that, when you come from that place of both service to them and abundance in the world, that there's more than enough transactions, you don't need to force people into anything or trick them or manipulate or lie or bribe, then what happens is you're doing something good for them. It's actually a positive. It's actually helping them get to a better place by not buying from you. One of the things that's fascinating about that is that person went into that conversation and transaction thinking that maybe they wanted it, but they weren't sure, which is why they're dealing with you. If they were sure, they would have already ordered it, but they weren't sure if it was a good fit. You were honest with them. You told them the truth about what you see and the fact that you can't help them. It's not a good solution. You can't get them to a better place. Best thing for them to do is go over here or not to buy anything. I've had so many people I've talked to in the past, especially when helping people with credit card debt, which was, I can't help you and no one can help you because what you need to do is X, Y, and Z. And so stop, you know, filling out forms online or stop trying to find for a solution because you're in a good place. Like you don't need anything and make sure you don't sign up for anything else. Like telling them like you're good. Don't let anyone else talk you into this. One of the things that happens is they're not expecting that. They're expecting a battle. They're expecting a salesperson who's like, hey, you should do this. I'm going to tell you why. And then I'm going to move you forward. I'm going to push you forward. I'm going to trick you. I'm going to lie to you. I'm going to do all these things. When you're honest and the power of saying no comes into, then if you leverage that into this section where we're talking about generating referrals, it can be amazing. Some of the best referrals I have ever received are from people who I never even worked with. They came to me. I told them, hey, I can't help you. You're doing good. You don't need any help. Just keep doing what you're doing. And then I'll tell them, hey, but if you know of anyone else in this kind of a scenario or situation, I'd be happy to help them. Even though I couldn't help you, you might know other people who I can help. That person is so shocked and surprised that I didn't try to convince them or push them or sell them something that it blows their mind. Imagine again, if, and I talked about this in the power of saying no, imagine if you go to a mechanic and your car has the check engine light, you go to the mechanic says, we checked the code. It really wasn't any issue. I reset the code. There's no charge, no worries, right? You expected to go to the mechanic and have like them try to talk you into this service and this challenge, like, you know, want to keep your car and charge you all of these things and tell you all these things are broke and upsell you and cross sell you and all these things. That's what you're worried about. That's what most of us are worried about when we take a car to a mechanic, when there's a light on or there's a noise, is that's the worry we have. You meet that mechanic who says, no, it's all good. We reset the code. There's no issue there. And we're not going to charge you, or we're just going to charge you a couple bucks, like, but everything else is good. You will want to refer that person to others because you trust them. They did the right thing for you. And even though you didn't pay them, even though they didn't make money off you, you're a great referral source. So one of the things is don't look past the people who you're not selling to. Again, if you're in sales, you're selling something that's a considered purchase where there's a decision-making qualifying process, which is you either qualify or you don't. If you don't qualify, I can't help you. If you do qualify, I will do everything as my duty and responsibility to move you forward. Then that mode there, do not miss out on the opportunity to have the referral conversation with the people you don't sell to. So important, because again, they will see what you did for them by not selling them as an act of service, and they will appreciate it. Make sure you're having the referral conversation with everyone. Again, this is what I talked about in the beginning, though, is this takes a mind shift from you. This takes a radical shift from you getting out of survival mode, focusing on stability, focusing on, I'm going to plant these seeds, because you don't know when that referral is going to come. If you're worried about your job every single day in sales, or every week, or every month, every pay period, if you're not sure if you're going to be in sales or at this company or in the industry, whatever, you're not going to be able to do that. You're not going to be thinking long-term. You're not going to want to ask everyone for referrals or have that conversation or plant those seeds, because fundamentally referrals are an unknown game, right? Even if you have a great platform, a great system, one of my clients that I have is called Get the Referral. They have an amazing platform that works with home service companies, primarily helps them just with generating and tracking and rewarding the referrals for the clients they have. It's a great platform, great custom app that they have built, but you have to be in that mode where you're looking long-term. Right? Even some of the companies that they're talking to, and it seems like it would be a good fit, that company's just in survival mode as it is, right? They're not in stability. They're not in success mode. They're just in the moment right now, even as a company, and then their salespeople as well. You have to be thinking long-term. What would it look like if I had referrals And ultimately what you want to do is when you get to that level of stability for yourself is you want to be able to get to the point where you're asking yourself and visualizing, what would it look like if I was generating all of my sales business by referrals only? Now, for a lot of people, that's never going to be 100% the case because they're still marketing, your company's giving you leads, or if you're working for yourself, you're going to be, you know, doing some marketing, doing some leads, you'll have some cold people, you know, that will come to you and it's not necessarily referral. So there's always that. But if you can set your mind on what would it look like, what would it be like, and how much easier would it be in sales if 100% of my business came from referrals? What would that look like? If you're in a sales role where you've got to close two deals a day, your company gives you calls, gives you leads, they give you data, you've got to make these outbound calls. If you started planting seeds right now, what would it look like? What would it feel like? What would it be like if you closed those two deals a day from inbound referrals, from your network, from the past people you talked to that you closed or didn't close, and then they're telling others and they're sending you referrals, and then you're closing that? I have literally seen salespeople make that transition over months and years where they go from 100% cold inbound traffic to them as a salesperson at a company to doing half of their business by referrals, to doing most of their business by referrals, to showing up many days of the week and literally not taking a single inbound call or a single new cold lead, and literally just responding to the referrals that they have and closing more than anyone else each day because of the relationships, because of the seeds they planted, because they're thinking long-term. That at one point they made up in their mind, I'm going to be here long-term. I don't know how long I'm going to be here, but I'm going to stop thinking short-term and I'm going to start planting seeds and building relationships and letting people know I will be here long-term and committing to it long-term. It's like any relationship. If you go into a relationship, any relationship, like a personal romantic relationship, and you think, I don't know if I'm going to be in this relationship tomorrow, right? You're kind of in this survival mode in the relationship. How are you going to address that relationship? How are you going to focus on it? What effort are you going to put into it each day if you don't know if you're going to even be in it tomorrow or next week, right? Or long-term. Then how would it feel if you said, I don't know how long I'm going to be in this relationship, but I know it's going to be a long time. I don't see an end date. I'm not worried about an end date. I'm committed to this for as long as I can. And I'm going to put the effort into it, right? I'm going to plant the seeds. I'm going to build this relationship. I'm going to do this, right? If you take that mode and you apply that to your sales career and make that shift out of survival and stability, it will make a huge difference. And the key is to ask for referrals, is to constantly be focused on it. When those opportunities come up, have it be a part of your dialogue. When you close a sale, literally as you're closing that sale, before you do the maybe you transfer it to customer service, customer success, the back end, the processing, whatever that looks like for you. Hey, just let people know, by the way, I do a lot of business by referral. And if there's anyone else that you know of that needs X, Y, and Z, I would love to help them as well. So, and I would appreciate that. Whatever that referral language looks like for you. Also, one of the things to do, and this one is important as well, is here's one final part for referrals, is a lot of salespeople get stuck because they don't want to ask for referrals because it seems too early, right? So for example, let's say I'm selling you credit repair services, right? You have really bad credit. I'm helping you get into a program where it's going to fix your credit over the next, let's say 12 months, right? Through various strategies, tactics, helping you with your finances, whatever that program looks like. If I say, all right, so I've got you signed up for this program. It will start now. Over the next 12 months, it's going to be. Let me know if you know of anyone else that has, you know, trouble with their credit that would need help. I'd love to help them as well. The challenge with that is that it's too early in the relationship and the process to be asking for a referral because you haven't done anything for them yet. You've sold them essentially a bunch of hope and a bunch of promise and a bunch of great ideas. I mean, even when you've done it the right way, that's what you've sold them, but they haven't seen any results yet. There's nothing that has occurred yet. And so a lot of times that's way too early to ask for referrals. And let me give you the analogy that I used in the book that I use all the time in training is imagine if you go to a restaurant, really nice restaurant, really fancy restaurant. The maitre d' gets the menus, takes you to your table, gives you the menus and says, hey, I hope you have a great experience. I think this will be great. Is there anyone else that you know of that might want to come to this restaurant? Or would you mind posting online how great our restaurant is? At that point in the dinner experience, it's way too early. You don't know if it's going to be good. Yes, there's a good reputation. Yes, it seems nice. That maitre d' seems nice. The host or hostess seems nice. Everything seems okay, but you don't know yet. Do you want to put your name on the line for a restaurant you haven't experienced? Because the food could suck. The server could be bad. The rest of the experience could be terrible. Like something could happen, or it could be amazing. And so it's too early. And that happens. Honestly speaking, there's a lot of companies who tell their salespeople, ask for referrals. But fundamentally, it's too early in the process. And you got to wait until the meal is over, until somebody gets what it is that you've promised them and the expectation you've set, to then ask them for the referral or the review, or, you know, putting something online. And so if that's the case for you, based on what you're selling, put that into your process, because it's important for you to build your process for generating referrals, or talk to your manager and your company and say, okay, here's when we need to ask, like set up some triggers, use some automation as a reminder so that you can then do your follow-up. Because maybe it's a month later. Maybe I'm calling that credit repair client a month or 2 months in and saying, hey, I was looking through your file. By the way, your credit report has improved. Your score has gone up. Like everything is looking good. And then have that referral conversation. Once you've proven and shown that you're not just full of promises as a salesperson, but that your company, your organization is actually doing what it said it would do or more, then that's when you want to ask for it. So make sure you balance that, because sometimes what you want to do, if that's what you're selling, if you're selling a service where people don't know if they like it or not yet, is you plant the seed as you're finishing your sales process before they start using your service, which is, I do a lot of business by referral. Once this starts working and it does what we said it will do, I'm going to call you back. I'm going to check in. If everything's going well, I would love your referrals at that point. But right now it's too early, but let's just make sure it's working first. And that's really valid. And there's not many people in sales I've ever seen do that. Not seen too many people say, I'm planting the thought and the seed right now for referral, but I also know it's too early. So I'll ask you in a few months or in a few weeks, and then I'll reach out to you then. I don't see too many people. If you do that, if you have those kind of conversations, A, it will set you apart from most everyone in sales, and B, it will help you build that referral pipeline. It will help you generate referrals in a way that most others aren't doing. But again, here's the biggest thing. This is where I started. This is where I'm going to end today, is that you have to get yourself out of sales stability mode or sales survival mode. You've got to get yourself into sales stability mode, where you can look at the whole picture and start planning long-term, right? Where you can start thinking about, here's what it would look like in a few years. Here's what I want my career to look like in 5 years. Here's where I think I want to be in 1 year. You've got to get to that stability mode so that you can then build towards success. Success being generating referrals. Referrals are coming in. You don't have to worry about what you're going to eat each and every day or each and every week, because the referrals are coming in. When a Monday comes or a new pay period or a new quarter, everyone else is scrambling and restarting. It's like, oh, it's a new quarter. It's like nothing happened. The scoreboard is clear. Now I've got to scramble for the next 3 months to try to fill up this next quarter. You know, you're walking into referrals and relationships and partnerships and all these things that are coming to you that you know that you can harvest when you're ready. And that's where you want to get to. That's where the most amazing professional, highly paid, highly effective, highly efficient salespeople get to. And that's what I want for you. And when you do that, you're also doing it in a way that's generating referrals, because you're doing the right thing. You're setting the right expectations. Your company is over delivering. You're creating raving fans, and you're being of service. Who doesn't get referrals are the shady people that we don't like dealing with, because no one would ever want to send their friends to that person. If you're generating referrals to me, that means you're doing the right thing. That means you're serving people. You're doing a positive thing as a salesperson in your sales role. And that means you're doing the best thing you can out there in the world. And that's what I want for everyone and what I appreciate. So that's it for this session on generating referrals for the weekly live training session. If you got value out of this, make sure to hit the like button. Make sure to leave a comment, say hello, where you're at, your thoughts on referrals, which you found works, doesn't work, whether you're watching this on LinkedIn, YouTube, or Facebook. I appreciate that. You know, say hello and then share this. Let's get this out there. If you know of anyone in your own company or any other company and they want to generate more referrals, or they're having trouble, or you think, hey, they could also do more, sell more, and make more money in a way using authentic persuasion and generate more referrals, make sure to share this. But that's it for this session. I appreciate everyone coming out, tuning in, wherever you're watching, wherever you're located in the world, whatever platform you're watching. Thanks for being here. And I will catch everybody next week for the next Authentic Persuasion live weekly training session. Thanks, everybody.
That's it for the replay of the Authentic Persuasion weekly live training session. Again, make sure to catch them live Fridays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. You can go to jasoncutter.com to sign up so you can get alerts, put it on your calendar, and have the links for when it goes live. And you can always email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com, and I can get you the information to sign up, as well as let me know any questions that you have, topics you want me to cover, or guides that you may be looking for. Thanks for tuning into the Authentic Persuasion Show. If you found value in this episode, please do two things. Subscribe so you can get each new episode, and share this episode with anyone else you know in sales. Together, we can help shift the way sales is done. And if you want to find out more information about how to transform your sales career, or you want help with shifting your sales team from order takers to quota breakers, go to jasoncutter.com. Don't forget that everything in life is sales, and I will catch you on the next episode of the Authentic Persuasion Show.